This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. This baseball season will mark the final one for legendary Cincinnati Reds broadcaster Marty Brenneman. And a new voice is joining the Reds announcer booth. His name is Tommy Thrall, and he'll join us live coming up. We'll also have a preview of what to expect of the Reds this season. Hope you'll call in or email us with your questions or comments on that. First, though, the world of amateur sports, specifically youth sports, and the problem of bad behavior, not by the kids, but by their grown-up fans. We've seen no shortage of viral videos and news stories about brawls involving adults at sporting events. Not only are these events embarrassing to the kids and the sport, but referees appear to have had enough as well. Many are quitting, and they are citing that bad behavior as the main reason. Joining Cincinnati Edition today to discuss our Cincinnati Premier Youth Basketball League director, Ben Goodyear. Thanks for joining us, Ben.
You're welcome.
And executive director of the Ohio High School Athletic Association, Jerry Snodgrass. He's on the phone. Welcome, Jerry.
Thank you for having me on.
If you want to weigh in on this topic, please give us a call, 513-419-7100. You can also email talk at wvxu.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Send us your comments and your tweets, and we may be able to get some of those on the show today. Jerry, I want to start with you because you co-wrote an open letter with Carissa Niehoff. She's the executive director of the National Federation of State High School Associations, titled, "Dear Mom and Dad, Cool It." And I want to read part of what you wrote together. You wrote, "Make no mistake about it, your passion is admired and your support of the hometown team is needed, but so is your self-control. Yelling, screaming, and berating the officials humiliates your child, annoys those sitting around you, embarrasses your child's school, and is the primary reason Ohio has an alarming shortage of high school officials." You continue with, "Plus, there's a ripple effect. There are more officials over 60 than under 30 in many areas. And as older, experienced officials retire, there aren't enough younger ones to replace them. If there are no officials, there are no games. The shortage of licensed high school officials is severe enough in some areas that athletic events are being postponed or canceled, especially at the freshman and junior varsity levels." What motivated you to write that letter?
It started really a couple of years ago in the state of Kansas, of all things, which is a little bit different than the state of Ohio. But when the executive director of Kansas spoke up at a national meeting and said, "What are you going to do?" pointing the finger to all of us at the other states. "What are you going to do when you don't have enough officials to fill your games?" We all kind of looked at him like, yeah, right. You know, that's your problem. Kansas actually assigns all of their high school officials from their central office. It's smaller in terms of members. However, that was all the more reason why we kind of not really looked the other way. But, you know, it was there. Well, all of a sudden, in the last year and a half, we are getting alarming numbers of officials, of games that are being canceled because there are not enough officials. And we're repeatedly getting things from officials that this is my last year, it's not worth it anymore, and highlighted with a drastic decrease in the overall numbers. We're down about 800 officials, I believe, from 2009. So all of those things come together became the perfect storm to write this.
So let's talk more about the shortage of youth sports referees, because it's not just refs retiring. Like you said, some are just quitting. So the National Association of Sports Officials found that 75% of high school officials throw away their whistles for good because of, quote, adult behavior. Can you describe some of that behavior that's turning referees and officials away, Jerry?
Well, you know, the passion, which, again, I even expressed, we can appreciate that. We can appreciate the multi-billion-dollar business that youth sports are at all levels. But that is almost, you know, it's exacerbated by the fact that we have instant replay at the professional levels. Everybody expects every single call by every single official to be perfect because there's so much more riding on it today. And the perception that college scholarships are riding on, you know, every single performance. So it's been a growing issue of the behaviors. You know, I don't know if we see so many, some of the youth fights you see in Ohio, but we do see an alarm in the number of fans coming out of the stands at basketball games. Football is a little bit more contained, but at basketball games, you know, to cause a disruption and end the contest and create all kinds of, you know, legal or political, or police issues. So that fan behavior has all been derived, I think, from so much more requiring a call to be right.
That's interesting that the professional sports that we watch on TV are having that ripple effect in real life at a much smaller level. And Ben, you're with the Cincinnati Premier Youth Basketball League. You recently had an incident within that league involving teams that were fourth graders.
Correct.
Tell us what happened. You probably don't want to talk too much about that, but tell us what happened.
Well, it was two fourth grade undefeated teams, and it was a great game. It was a 2 or 3 point win, and two moms were upset and started to yell at each other in the cafeteria, and then it led to a fist fight.
Was this during the game?
It was after the game.
Oh, so the game had concluded, one of the teams had won, and two mothers were going at it.
Right. So instead of celebrating this unbelievable game, it was a great basketball game. They decided to fist fight in the parking lot, and then actually one of their kids were involved. If you watch the video, a kid comes in and starts punching the other mother.
Yeah.
It was just bedlam.
That video got real ugly and also got a lot of views, of course.
Correct.
So the league opted to expel players and those parents?
Correct.
For the season?
For the season.
Okay, so what has the reaction been from other parents and teams to that decision?
Positive. We instituted a rule this year where if a parent gets suspended, their associated player suspended for the same amount of time. And that was one of our desperate measures to stop the violence. We've had 12 referees get assaulted the year before last. We've had multiple arrests. We don't need to call police at a third grade basketball game. And it's funny, but it's a reality. So we just put this rule in. All the coordinators in our community voted on it. And we've seen results, but it's not, to me, the goal is zero. And so we've had, I think we're about 26. When the fight broke out, we had 6 suspensions. In the 2 weeks since, we've now at 26 parents and kids have been suspended from the league.
I had that stat in my notes, but I didn't have that updated number. I've got that after your new rules or prior, I guess. Last year, you had ejected roughly 45 parents from games. That's according to WLWT.
Correct.
And that number had dropped to 6 this year. So you're saying now that you've really tightened, you found calls that they're out even more people.
And what's happening is we're getting closer to our postseason tournament. So this unbelievable pressure to win a fourth grade rec basketball game is sometimes too much for parents to handle.
Why?
I wish if I had the answer, we wouldn't be having this discussion.
I mean, my nephews are playing for the first time, and it's just fun. It's fun to watch the other team, that there's just young kids out there learning how to play this great game. And I don't see a lot of that in my personal experience. So, I mean, is there like it's the Premier League. Is this a different level for kids, or are these just the schools that they're part of?
It's just the community organizations. We have 5 divisions from the highest of athletic down to, social rec basketball.
So you do divide it up by,
correct,
by ability.
Competitive level, yeah.
Okay. We've got a phone call from Mark. Mark, you're on the line. What do you want to say?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
So I'm an official in the state of Kentucky, and I've been doing grade school for probably 12, 13 years, doing high school for, I think this will be my 6th coming up. My season just ended. Just 2 things. The funny thing, ironic thing is most of the problems are in the grade school games. The high school games can be rough, but usually there's grade school games, especially AAU, is when it gets really out of hand. And I think it's just a lack of knowledge of the game from the parents and sometimes the coaches alike. So I feel like that's the problem that needs to be addressed. And also I'm 30 years old in the Knights region where I officiate. I am, I think, probably the 3rd or 4th youngest official. And a lot of the officials right now are over the age of 60, and they do a great job, but the body can only hold up to keep going at that pace. So I just feel like unless something has changed, we're going to have a real big problem soon with refs having to double it up on games, which just caused more stress. And I appreciate you guys talking about it because I think it's something that does not get talked about at all. So I appreciate you talking about this today.
Well, before you hang up, Mark, let me ask you, do you enjoy doing this?
Oh, I love it. I really do. I'm such a fan of the sport that it's just fun to be involved. And it just takes a while to get that thick skin to know what you can take and what you can't take. And the problem is a lot of these younger guys that are 21, 22 are doing this for some side cash, and they hear things, they're like, well, screw this, I don't want to mess with this. And I think you got to have a mixture of passion for the game and also know the rules. So it's a combination. It's kind of hard to find people like that sometimes to stay committed, because I think a lot of times people will ref for 1 or 2 years and then quit because they just can't take the take the yelling sometimes.
All right, Mark. Well, we appreciate the call, and maybe we'll see you at the 9th Region Tournament. That's always a fun one. Okay, let's continue now. 513-419-7100. If you'd like to weigh in, talk at WVXU.org or Facebook or Twitter. We'll find your comments and your tweets. We'd love to hear from you. One side effect of adult fights at youth sports games is how they play on social media. And Jerry, I want to bring you back in as well. Some of these events get hundreds of thousands of views. What do you think is the appetite for that type of content?
Well, you know, it's very interesting when Ben mentioned that, you know, it went basically went viral, but there were so many views of that. And, you know, that's a cultural shift too, that, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you know, we didn't have, you know, everybody has a camera in their hands. Everybody has a video recorder in their hands today. So it's almost, you know, that gets an attention that I'm not sure good or bad, you know, I mean, sometimes it can be embarrassing, but I just think there's, everybody strives for media content. You know, everybody is a video recorder. Everybody's a cameraman today. And I think they themselves, when they put out on social media, they'll throw it out there and hey, look how many people retweeted this. Look how many people followed me as a result. So, you know, that's a dynamic all in its own right.
And Ben, did the virality of that video from that fourth grade basketball game fight, did that put any added pressure on your league to act?
No, not really. We, you know, most of our communities, it was abhorrent behavior, and the majority of our coordinators sent emails in. We have to, including Marymount and West Claremont, who were the two communities involved. They both stepped in and dealt with it quickly, and supported what our decision. So, luckily, we have enough sane people that you know that support what we're doing and understand what the league's about.
We'll continue our discussion on unruly behavior by adults at youth sporting events after this short break. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. Referees are bailing on youth sports, citing the behavior of adults at games. Here to continue that discussion today, our Cincinnati Premier Youth Basketball League Director Ben Goodyear and Executive Director of the Ohio High School Athletic Association, Jerry Snodgrass. If you want to weigh in, call 513-419-7100. You can also email talk at WVXU.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter as well. We'll be looking for your comments. What type of training is required for a potential referee or official, Ben?
They go through the Ohio Athletic Association's class and get certified, and then we have ongoing training. They go to camps and different things, continue education, and then we hold our own training in the off season. And our training basically is more about not the how to mechanically do a game. It's more about the demeanor and how to handle coaches. And, you know, a lot of our coaches don't know the game. Like Jerry mentioned, the fans don't know the game and they get agitated, thinking they're protecting their child, and how to deal with that and how to walk the people down without having to incidents happen.
Well, what are some of the pieces of that training that help those officials deal with the crowds?
We just, you know, we explain to them that, you know, when they go to a high school, a lot of our officials are high school officials. And so when they go to a high school game, there are policemen, there are athletic directors, there are principals there, so they have a support system. In our games, they don't. And so we talk to them about, you know, you need to understand how to, you know, we don't get mad, we just talk calmly, and we try to calm the diffuse the situations. But if we can't, then you get the gym monitor involved and be done with it, you know, so in or call the police.
And Jerry, who joins us on the phone, what can you say about that? What type of training goes on, and is there any room for new training to help officials deal with unruly crowds?
Well, that's what a double-edged sword that is, and I'm glad to know that, you know, and most youth associations do utilize officials that are licensed through us. So that on one hand means we're fairly good at what we do. And speaking of basketball, we have about, I think it's about 4,800 statewide that are licensed. But one of the things that we request, the double-edged sword, because the education that we provide, we want our officials to know the rules. We want officials to get things 100% correct. they don't always do it, as long as, you know, the human nature of it is involved. But we require every single year of our officials in basketball, and actually all sports, but in basketball, to attend 5 meetings prior to and during the course of the year. And we provide agendas for those meetings on the things that they're supposed to cover. Obviously, rule changes. There aren't that many rule changes from year to year. But, you know, there are certain key points that are emphasized at these different meetings. So they're not just to get together and talk. They're to get together and review a lot of things. We really encourage our officials and our basketball coaches in the state of Ohio we require preseason meetings for our parents. We beg them to have an official come and talk to them. So we've tried to really bridge that gap a little bit so they have a little bit better understanding of the game. But the other side of that is younger officials that we're trying to get into the system, you know, don't always like that maybe Sunday night meeting. They don't want to go to these meetings. They want to do everything on the phone. They want to do everything by, you know, a pad or a tablet. So, you know, but at the same time, we have to make sure it's good quality education so they get the calls right. So we also are up to 16 or 17 high schools in the state of Ohio that are offering a class for credit, for high school credit, to get your officiating license. Because for younger sports, and, you know, Ben can address this too, you know, it's a pretty good part-time job for a younger official.
We got an email from Peter. He says his 13-year-old son refs and has been verbally abused by parents and coaches. So that kind of speaks to what you were just saying. It might be a good part-time job, but even younger referees and officials are dealing with some of those circumstances. We've got another Mark on the line. He wants to talk to us today. Mark, what's on your mind? Mark, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
All right. What's your comment or question?
Well, I was a select soccer coach for about 5 years, and this type of thing really got under my skin. So I told the referees before any game, if any of the parents on our team on the sidelines were at any manifestation of unruly behavior, to tell me, and that child was going to sit the next quarter. I even said, pull out your yellow card and then come over and tell me about it, because that child... So it was understood on our team that that was not acceptable behavior.
And Mark, before you go, is that a conversation that you would have with the parents ahead of time as well?
Oh, beginning of the season, very first practice, I said, this is something that I think it's important. And if they said anything to the other team or to our own players, if they were, you know, saying, how'd you miss that shot, you know? That was unacceptable, and they would know it, and their child would sit a quarter.
And did it work out?
Oh, it worked out very well. Yeah, we never had any problems. No complaints.
All right, Mark, we appreciate the feedback there. I want to revisit a stat that we mentioned earlier. Jerry, in the letter you co-wrote to parents, you noted that there are more officials over 60 than under 30 in some. We heard similar remarks from the first Mark who called earlier in the program. So it looks like you're in need of some younger referees to come in and replace the ones who are bailing or retiring from the industry. What type of recruitment activities are being undertaken to bring people back into the fold?
Well, that statistic is very correct. In fact, in the state of Ohio, last I looked, and this is very easy for us to check, but recently I looked, and I believe it was every single sport that we sponsor and have officials for that we educate and license, the average age on every single sport is over 50. So that tells you one thing, you know, right? The average age is over 50. So we have a big push right now. Now, it's interesting that after that article was printed statewide, and it was picked up on CBS this morning, it was picked up on USA Today, our calls to our office and contacts to get into the officiating world increased unbelievably. We were averaging for about 2 weeks over 50 calls a day on how to become an official. So there was a good side of all of that, you know, a side effect of recruiting officials, you know, as a result of that letter. But as I mentioned, we have reached out. We do have 16 or 17 schools, and that's growing each year, of high schools offering a class to recruit and get younger officials into the business. We are looking at alternative ways to offer meeting credits instead of going to, and I say Sunday night, they're not all on Sunday night, but a Sunday night meeting somewhere. You know, how about if we let them work a couple youth games? How about if we let them be an observer to two other officials at a junior high game? They may learn more from that than sitting in a classroom, you know, talking for an hour. So we're trying to change the way in which we are educating the officials also to make it more attractive and easier to get your license.
Ben, who do you think would make an ideal referee or official in youth sports? What type of person?
That's a great question. I would think someone who has the ability to remain calm and has an even-keeled demeanor, but also, you know, is a rule follower and is not afraid to uphold the rules and be an authority figure in the gym.
Maybe somebody with a little kickboxing experience.
Maybe.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
And so we've talked a little bit, and you touched on this earlier, Ben. We've talked about training as it relates to officials and referees, but should there be more opportunities or informational sessions to prepare parents and guardians of athletes?
Yeah, we hold a lot of coaches meetings, and our communities will hold their own coaches meeting. I think the disconnect is we're missing it with the parents. So we're going to hold some this year. We're going to hold a new coaches clinic to try to and bring referees and share the referee experience with new coaches to try to stave off this trend of coaches who abuse refs. And then we'll also do it with parents.
We've talked a little bit about parents and their unruly behavior, but we've also heard commentary online in the world of youth sports about whether parents are just pushing their kids too hard from one sport to the next or from one league to the next. Maybe they need more time off between the respective seasons. From your work in the organizations or leagues that both of you represent, we'll start with you, Jerry. Do you have any advice for parents of young athletes?
Well, you know, that's so interesting because I would be one of those. I am a former high school coach myself and spent, you know, my previous life doing that. And I'm a believer in the burnout. I'm a believer that we've pushed kids too hard and so many of them give it up, and it's so hard to measure this. But the challenge we have is if we don't do it, somebody else is. We don't, in all but two sports, track and field and cross country, we do not offer any kind of tournament play at the junior high or middle school level. But the problem is, if we don't, somebody else is, and it's not always in as carefully designed of a and controlled situation as Ben does. You know, Ben has a great organization, but so many of them out there are just running, and there's no oversight. There's no oversight on the finances. There's no oversight on any kind of coaching certifications that some are required by law. So it's kind of a tough thing because if we don't do it, somebody else is. But I'm a firm believer that enough is enough.
And Ben, I mean, you do operate an organization. Do you see kids play a season in your organization and then go right into another league somewhere else? And do you have any advice on that?
Yes, we do see kids that play, and I've got no one girl who plays on five teams right now.
Wow,
and it's crazy. And I have kids that play. My son plays football in college. My older daughter played lacrosse through high school, and then is at Ohio State going to med school. And our whole, I'm never going to tell anybody how to parent because there's a thousand ways to parent, and I'm not sure if my way was right. But when I coached, it was follow your passion. Just follow your passion. If it's basketball, football, chess, swimming, track and field, whatever. Just let them follow their passion and they won't get burnout. When you keep taking them off to court, to court, to court, to court, and they're on five teams and playing three sports in the season, they burn out.
So we got about a minute left. I want each of you to weigh in as you can quickly. What is your youth sports going to look like in 10 years or 20 years? Do you expect any reforms or calls for decency will have prevailed by then? Ben, you go first.
As the optimist, yes, I hope. My fear is that in 3 or 4 years, I won't have enough referees to actually have work games.
Wow.
Based on our attrition rates. And so, I hope that doesn't happen. And I hope, trends change. But until we start getting grips with this, it's not going to change.
And Jerry, do you see it getting better or worse over the next decade?
I see it can't get much worse. The added part of that is I worry for the Bens of the world that we are going to lose coaches as well. And that really adds another dimension to this. But I also feel it's a three, last I heard it was like a $3 billion a year industry, youth sports. it's not going away. And I think we have got to move forward, and I think there will be. There has to be more oversight for both, you know, coaches as well as parents and adults on the education requirements.
Jerry Snodgrass is the executive director of the Ohio High School Athletic Association, and Ben Goodyear is the director of the Cincinnati Premier Youth Basketball League. I appreciate both of your time today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's great to have you be on.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. I'm Michael Monks. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org.